Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players. Build a Pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Hit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
When you listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, you get a belly full of laughs and a head full of real information. Our gallimaufry of expert guests answer questions on stuff adults need to know. I have mold in my dwelling. What do I do? What's gerrymandering? What happens chemically when I fall in love? How do I handle a parent-teacher conference? What are microbes? Listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Solve problems, get laughs.
r/ is a hilarious podcast where Dabney Bailey uses ridiculous voices and emotions to read aloud the week's craziest Reddit posts.
He reenacts various Reddit threads covering wild stories and secrets, petty revenge, relationships, and much more.
So if you're looking for a daily distraction and a laugh, check out r/ wherever you get your podcasts.
You know the problem with Hollywood is? They make shit. Unbelievable, unremarkable shit.
So I was legitimately offended.
You were offended?
I was offended.
I didn't know you could get offended.
I was offended.
This did it.
I was absolutely offended.
They're fucking making shit up, I mean!
Inconsequential detail after inconsequential detail after inconsequential detail.
Bees don't lie.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm there holding a mic in my hands and now I'm talking all over.
Do a little banter before, but Amin is at the American Airlines Arena. Well, I guess it's soon going to be the Bang Bros Center or whatever it was. I can't remember.
BBC, baby.
The BBC. Well, what we're doing today,
and we're deep in the BBC.
Oh boy, is we're doing a very special episode of Cinephobe because what was it about a week ago, Amin? Less than a week ago, you said I just came out of Gemini Man, right? That was your text to us.
It was Saturday, because Saturday afternoon, I was going to a wedding on Saturday in LA, but I had all day to kill. So I said, you know what, man, I've been putting this off for too long. Let me go down to the movie theater right next to my hotel, put down hard earned American dollars to go watch the cinematic excellence that is The Joker. So I went and watched The Joker. And as I'm walking out of Joker, it was like 1 o'clock, and I saw 1:07 start time for Gemini Man. And I said, what the hell? Trooper. So I went
in. Wow.
Yeah. I haven't done that in a while, but it's always a great feeling, especially when you see a movie that you just would never pay money to go watch. Like, that's exactly what happened here. So Gemini Man, I'm going to tell you right now, your box office numbers are actually depressed. They're artificially lower than what they are really are because – I went in and I watched Gemini Man, but I did not pay to watch it.
Well, funny enough, I went to go see maybe The Joker. I went with our friend Mo Dakhil, and it was a same start time, Gemini Man and The Joker. And so we get to the theater, and I was like, man, you call it. Like, we could just – whatever you want. And he's like, Gemini Man? I was like, yeah, we'll do The Joker later in the week, right? He goes, we'll do Joker later in the week.
You guys actively chose.
We actively chose Gemini Man. Not just that, Amin. Not just that. We saw it in 3D.
Wow, you got me beat. I don't. I guess some of those action scenes might have been nicer with the 3D.
Let me tell you, they were not.
Okay.
I haven't seen a 3D movie since whenever Johnny Depp was in Alice in Wonderland.
Oh yeah, that was freaky.
That was the last one, or maybe Pacific Rim. I can't remember which one was.
No, Pacific Rim was definitely more recent.
Okay, then Pacific Rim was the last one. So I think those are the only three I've ever seen. I did not like it. I don't like the 3D experience.
I don't like 3D either. I think I went and saw Cars 3 in 3D or one of those Disney movies, and it was only because the other one was either there was no seating, not enough seating, or it was like. Just not a convenient time. Usually I try to avoid 3D as much as possible. It doesn't really do it for me in general, even when it's done well.
It's distracting.
It is very, very. Yeah. And I keep taking off my glasses to see what it looks like.
Right, exactly.
Even though I know what it looks like, I keep doing it again and again.
So yes, that's this week's Cinephobe, as we saw the 2019 cloning thriller Gemini Man.
Let me ask you, so I'm really intrigued by this angle that you went in and in the hockey face-off, Gemini Man beat the Joker.
Yeah.
This has happened to me where it was one movie that turned out to be a huge blockbuster and another movie that was not so much. And it's happened to one other person that I know who's actually a coach in the NBA right now, but obviously this happened before he was a coach. Do either of you have a story like that before I tell these stories? Because these are awesome.
Maze, have you ever had to do the Sophie's Choice?
I just straight fucked up trying to go see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and ended up seeing Spider-Man Far From Home instead. Okay. I don't know if that counts.
That's pretty good, though. You went and saw a good movie either way.
I mean, I feel like I tend to opt for the bad movie Like I'm trying on to, purpose, I'm trying though. To, I'm, yeah, I'm trying to narrow down a time where I've like had the good or the bad, and I've opted with the bad. I feel like I always make the wrong decision, whatever it is.
Dude, let me tell you right now. My story is, it was me and one of my buddies from high school, and we were going to the movies. Let's go to the movies. We went, and this is back when you didn't look it up on the internet. You just showed up at the movie theater and looked at like what's got the closest start times. So we get there, and it's Independence Day is one of the movies it's playing, and the other movie is Eraser with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Vanessa Williams. And I remember vividly the conversation about Independence Day looks dumb. Look how big that ship is. Why don't they just land? Why don't they just land it and it'll just destroy everybody? Like, you don't have to like fight these people. You just land the ship on the surface of the earth and you just squash everybody. And so he said, Eraser looks like it's more intriguing of a plot. And we went and watched Eraser instead of Independence Day.
Eraser is maybe a future cinephobe because that movie is real bad.
You have been erased. I haven't watched it. You know what's funny? Never since I saw it in the theater, never watched it again. And the worst part is I remember walking out of Eraser on that night way back when in 1996 thinking to myself, I liked it.
Wow.
That was a good movie. I was like, okay, that was like it was entertaining. It had action. It had some punchlines, some comedy. I liked it. I've not seen it since 1996, though. So it'll be interesting to revisit. Like, oh, my God.
Maze, add it to the list because I really want to mean to.
Wait, does it qualify, first of all? Is it a racer?
Yeah, 35%, 39% audience.
Dog shit movie. It's so bad.
You have been erased. It was the first time you saw the little sight on the laser on the gun that wasn't red. It was the first time it was green.
Yeah, they had like the night vision, like infrared night vision, you know, almost like try because they're trying to shoot hearts, right? With like this pulse.
Yeah, because it was a special gun, right? Like a gun. Oh man, yeah,
that's James Caan. Is James Caan the bad guy in that? Spoiler alert.
When did he stop being Jimmy Caan? And just become James Caan.
I think around the program. I think that's when he became James Caan.
hold on, I gotta give you one more Sophie's choice that trumps even mine. I got a buddy, I will not name his name. He's a coach in the NBA. He said he went with his brother to the movies and they had two options. One was Jurassic Park. And the other was Cop and a Half. They came out on the same day and they went and saw Cop and a Half. Yes.
No. Oh my God.
Cop and a Half. And swore it was worth it.
I mean, no, not over Jurassic Park.
Over Jurassic Park. They thought Jurassic Park looked dumb. I believe he told me he didn't see Jurassic Park until like 10 years later when it was on video. He went and saw Cop and a Half. I mean, at least Eraser had like star power. Arnold, Vanessa Williams was really big, and her album was out at the time. It was like a big deal. Jimmy Caan.
Well, I did. So this doesn't count. I did see Mystery Men over The Sixth Sense.
Why doesn't it count?
Because within an hour before going to go see The Sixth Sense, my grandma, who you sent to hell, had called, asked what I was doing. I said, "Oh, I'm gonna go see The Sixth Sense." She goes, "Oh, that's the one where they're all dead in the end, right?" And so she ruined the movie for me. Well, and this is back before spoilers were out.
But that's not really ruining because you didn't know if that meant like all the characters die at the end or like.
Well,
you know,
I felt like I had figured it out, so I didn't see The Sixth Sense until about 4 years ago.
I figured out Sixth Sense within like 15 minutes of Bruce Willis being on screen. I remember saying it out loud in the theater. Oh, he's not alive. I just figured it out like because nobody else was talking to him other than the kid. It was just one of those things. I was like it just was immediately apparent to me. Like there was no suspense for me. That's why I don't like M. Night Shyamalan movies. They're all dumb.
They're usually pretty bad.
Yeah.
Bad twists. So Gemini Man stars Will Smith, who's coming off the live action version of Aladdin from earlier this year. He's going to be in Bad Boys for Life next year.
Yeah.
He plays both.
You mean future cinephobe nominee Bad Boys for Life.
I'm worried. I'm really worried.
You know, be worried. It's got a like either January or February release date for a blockbuster action movie. Man. That means it is a complete flop.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's going to be bad. Will Smith plays Henry Brogan. He also plays his cloned self, Junior.
Junior, yeah.
Junior. It also stars Clive Owen as Clay Ferris, who is the evil boss of Gemini, some kind of private security, private military.
Black Ops, kind of. Yeah. Wouldn't that make Will Smith's clone Clay Barris Jr.? Because that's his
You would pop. Think, right? Yeah, it's...
It popped.
Surprisingly, not one of the 10 biggest plot holes in this movie is the naming of this character. Clive recently starred in Song of Names and The Informer both this year, and then the other two notable people are Mary Elizabeth Winstead, plays Danny Zakharuski. She was known from 10 Cloverfield Lane. She's also in Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, and she's John McClane's daughter in Live Free or Die Hard.
Die Hard, that's right. Yeah,
Lucy Gennaro McClane.
I knew she looked familiar. I just couldn't quite place her. Scott Pilgrim vs. the World is another movie I've seen that now it makes sense. Also, I submit to Maze and to everybody, we need to start calling Zach Zakharuski from now on.
Wait, we're all going to go Rob Schneider now? Is that what we're doing?
Zakharuski, the Zackinator.
You'll also notice Benedict Wong as Baron in this movie. Yeah. He plays Wong in the Doctor Strange and Marvel universe.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He was, which I hear is not real cinema. I mean,
according to some guy with massive eyebrows who made makes hacky movies.
Oh, they're so artistic. Also, the guy who made the movie Jack and Godfather 3.
Yeah.
That guy also agreed with him. The movie is directed by Ang Lee, who directed Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Hulk, and Wolfback Mountain, Life of Pi.
I feel like for cinephobe, you have to lead with the Hulk.
You have to lead with Hulk? Okay.
That's the movie.
Wait, which one? The Eric Bana one?
Yeah, Eric Bana one.
Okay,
Ed Norton one was good. He did the one that wasn't good.
Well, speaking of Ed Norton, this movie was written by David Benioff, who wrote 25th Hour, X-Men Origins Wolverine, Kite Runner, and ruined Game of Thrones.
Exactly. That's all because this is cinephobe. You don't name all that other shit.
I'm punctuating it.
The guy who ruined Game of Thrones. And I was like, yep, this is what you were doing in your spare time.
And I mean, he is attached to writing the 2022 Star Wars movie.
I know.
Are you worried?
I'm extremely worried. But one thing I love about Star Wars is they ain't afraid to fire somebody.
That's true. They'll get him the fuck out of there. Yeah. Let's get him out. There's also a writing credit for Billy Ray, not the singer, known for Color of Night, Volcano, Flight Plan, The Hunger Games, Captain Phillips, and the soon-to-be-released Terminator Dark Fate.
That looks terrible, too. That looks like a future.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? They got me once Linda Hamilton walked out of the SUV in slow motion with a giant gun. I was like, I'm in.
I was until Arnold answers the door as a very old Arnold. They're like, wait a second.
Why would he be retired? Why would Arnold be in a cottage?
Why would the robot age? And why would the robot age and then retire to a cottage out in the country? Yeah.
Okay. Synopsis for Gemini Man. An over-the-hill hitman faces off against a younger clone of himself with the tagline, who will save you from yourself? Is that Jewel? Maze, is that a Jewel lyric?
Oh, man.
Who will save
you? Oh, that's Save Your Soul. Yeah, damn it. So close.
Well, although who will save you from yourself?
Rolls right off the tongue. $138 million budget has grossed 37 U.S., 119 worldwide, but as Maze let us know, over $100 million in marketing.
What?
Over $100 million in marketing, Amin.
They did really put it everywhere. I saw it everywhere.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
But also, just want to throw this out there. $37 million in the U.S. $37 million. $37 million and $14. Sorry. You guys are getting underreported there. Don't let lamestream media keep you down, Gemini Man.
Or take that 14 off. All right, we jump in this movie. Gemini Man is in theaters, but it probably won't be for long. I'd go rush and see it if you're worried about that. It receives a 25% from critics on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's dropping.
On 269 reviews.
It was 32 when I told you guys, Gemini Man isn't doing that well, right? I think it was 32.
I think it was low 30s for sure.
And so it's dropped to 25 now.
Dropped to 25, except to mean the audience. Over 6,300 ratings, 84%, except I got something for you on this. It is bots.
Yeah.
It is bots because I am reading the audience reviews. they are all the same. They're all one line. They're all, I was on the edge of my seat. Love the ending. Great ending. Like they're all bots.
The ending?
Yes.
Like this, I mean, look, if I really want to play devil's advocate and say this movie wasn't that bad. And I won't lie. There were times where I thought to myself actively, this isn't a good movie, but I'm also not falling asleep, which is always a risk when I'm in a movie theater. It's dark and those seats are so comfortable. But I was like, all right, like, okay, you have me paying attention at least. The ending is definitely not one of those times.
No, the ending is the worst part, which says a lot. All right, let's get into the reviews. We'll do the good reviews first, which, I mean, even the good reviews, I don't know, man. It's not great. Maze, here's a review. Weldon B. Johnson of the Arizona Republic, Amin's neck of the woods. If you're a fan of action movies or you've ever pondered the questions of nature versus nurture, or even what you'll tell your younger self if you had a chance, you'll enjoy Gemini Man. Maze, is that a positive review?
That sounds like a psychiatrist.
It does. And by the way, this review was positive because it was a 2.5 out of 4, which doesn't feel,
I mean,
that doesn't feel like math.
There
to
you
me.
Go.
Yeah.
You're over 50. Feeling, that's positive.
I mean, I guess so. Yeah, I guess that is legally positive. Michael Phillips of the Chicago Tribune. Gemini Man isn't bad, but two Will Smiths, when one of them is a computer animated, somehow feels like 66 to 75% of a real movie. Is that that's a positive review? That one. Okay, I'm
trying to parse that. So it doesn't even specify it's 60 right. to 70% of a good movie. It's just a real movie.
Of a
so
real
that
movie.
Means that 30% of it isn't real?
Anywhere from 25 to 34% of the movie isn't real. And it isn't bad, but he doesn't say it's good. And that's with two Will Smiths, with one of them computer animated. David Sims of the Atlantic. Lee is innovating and looking backwards at the same time, and the viewing experience is as bewildering as that sounds. That's a positive review.
So, like, here's the thing about all these positive reviews. They all sound like they were being made while Will Smith and or Ang Lee was sitting right in front of these people. If you pondered nature versus nurture, I mean, right? Like, oh, it's like 66% of a real movie. Like, all of these are very heavily couched positive reviews.
So for the negative ones, Christy Lemire of Film Week, like an assault on your eyeballs. Maybe you get used to it, but you shouldn't. Some of the action is fun, but it's really hard to get past the look of it. It's unsettling. Charlotte O'Sullivan of London Evening Standard. Obviously, the dire dialogue doesn't help, but what blunts Smith's performance and makes the film itself hell to watch is the innovative ultra-high frame rate, which renders actors, objects, and the air somehow flimsy and weird and fake.
Yes.
So I had a question about this, too. Like, I couldn't tell if that was the 3D I was watching, because it's been so long since I watched a 3D movie.
No, that was the movie.
That's the movie, okay.
Because every time in the fight scene, I'm like, okay, like, all right, y'all gonna fight, that's cool, but the CGI Will Smith moved, like, I don't know if they were trying to emphasize, oh, he moves so quick.
Yeah, he's so young and agile, right?
But like, it just looked like a cartoon almost. Like,
Mo said after the movie, he was like, I feel like I just watched a Call of Duty video game.
Not even. Call of Duty, the movements are more natural.
More natural, yeah, that's probably true. Justin Chang of the LA Times, no matter how many presumably non-computer generated tears Will Smith sheds, he and Lee never transform this baby hitman into a plausible scientific fiction conceit, let alone invest him with a soul. They really do try to give him a soul, too. They try to give him emotions.
But they just try to rush through it, and their version of giving him a soul was just having him say, what's the deal, Pop? Hey, Pop. Which, by the way, there's a Family Guy episode. I was trying to find this clip, and I couldn't find it. It's Stewie, and he's screwed something up. And they're trying to – him and Brian are trying to hide what's going on and from Peter. And Peter asks – Peter walks in, and he's angry. And Stewie's response, because he's trying to be inconspicuous, say, hey, Pop, what's going on? He says it in, like, it's just the most unnatural way, because Stewie obviously never talks like that. But I don't think anyone calls anyone their father Pop. Hey, Pop. Like, unless you're like Beaver Cleaver or whatever.
I've literally never even thought to call my dad Pop.
Pop? Hey, Pop.
There's no way.
Not even, it wasn't even a cool Pops, what's up? It was,
yeah.
Hey, Pop. It was like,
it's very meek like, for a hitman. It's like, he's a hitman.
It's Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah.
Hey, Pop. Like, we're going to the park today, Pop. You took me hunting, Pop.
Allison Wilmore of New York Magazine. Sometimes it's difficult to know where to look. In one dramatic shootout in a store, I couldn't stop staring at the perfectly visible selection of chips lining the shelves they dove past.
It sounds like every reviewer went cross-eyed watching this movie.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. It really is distracting. Yeah. It's 100% distracting. I'm glad to know that it wasn't just my 3D choice.
No, that was
the movie. Of it being distracting. Rex Reed of The Observer, the plot makes no sense. The dreary script is dead on arrival, and Smith is just as blank and lost at 23 as he is at 51.
That's a little harsh.
It kind of was a little rude. And then Thomas Floyd, or actually, I got two more. Thomas Floyd of The Washington Post. Unfortunately for Smith, Lee, and the writing team, all the computer generated Botox in the world can't smooth over the wrinkles of dated storytelling. And then.
Someone wants to be a writer.
Was really trying there. And then Mike LaSalle of the San Francisco Chronicle. You know what? I wouldn't want to get into a fist fight with my younger self either. I think he'd win, but I don't need to go to a movie for such a startling insight. You think Mike has lost a step?
I think Mike wasn't paying attention to the movie.
Yeah.
Because he kind of beat his younger self.
Right. Yeah, but, he really did best him at all times, right?
Spoiler alert.
All right, so like you and I didn't make notes. Normally would with this movie because we're in a movie theater. But I do want to discuss
– how many people were in the theater?
So it was me. It was Mo. There was a guy to my right. There were two people to Mo's left. And there were maybe three people scattered in front of us.
You guys went midweek, right, in Los Angeles?
We went Monday at 2 p.m.
I went Saturday, 1:07 p.m. start time, prime time.
Prime time.
There was a guy in the last row all the way in the corner. I just assumed he was there to beat off inside.
Yeah, you got to beat off, right?
Right. There was one more person behind me. And then in front of me, to my right, it looked like a family of four.
Oh,
and yes, they were black.
I wanted to ask.
Was every passing week. Big Waz's theory that black people have terrible taste
in
movies,
and
TV. I mean, it just keeps getting proven over and over again.
As a white man, I've always wondered, if I could broach the subject. But I do, I've seen Power.
Yeah.
It's really bad. I don't understand people who like it.
I understand people who like it. It started off not as bad as it is now.
Wait, it's worse? I got through maybe six episodes of the first season, and then I tapped out.
It is a million times worse now. But here's the big thing about Power is I never thought in a million years, even though I thought, there are people who like it because it's a nice escape or whatever. I never thought in a million years we'd arrive in a place of Idiocracy where people are saying Power is better than The Wire. And Rajon Rondo said it too.
No,
and you know what? No, I mean, is he trolling? He's got to be trolling to say that.
Oh, man. He's got to be. Come on. Even the worst season of The Wire is at least better than what I saw.
In the last episode of Power, and we talked about this on the Bomb Overflow, so if you're a Patreon, go ahead and take the overflow for our review of Power's last episode. In the latest episode, there is a character who basically signs over to become state's witness so that she can keep custody of her son. And while she's packing up her house to escape, her friend shows up and walks in, looks at the armoire that's right by the door, and that paper is lying there face up. And she's like, what's this? Like, oh, no, it's not what you think it is. And then a fight ensues. And I'm just like, how lazy of a writer do you have to be? Like, well, how's she going to find out that she signed the document? Why don't we just left it out there? Because, you carry it and you put it right as soon as you walk in the door. Let me sit this right here while I get everything else together. Anyways.
All right. So I figure I would just ask questions about the movie. And Maze, if you have any questions as you hear us, please chime in. First question I have, was I immediately, about 10 minutes in, thought of the movie Sin City. I thought Sin City was a terrible movie. I didn't get it. Oh, it didn't do it for me. I thought, no, but when I watched it, I was like, okay, visually, this is stunning, right? It looks like a comic book, but a live-action comic book. I appreciated the way, but I thought this gimmick has run old about 15, 20 minutes into the movie, and that's how I felt with the way that this looked in Gemini Man.
Did Gemini Man start with – it started with the whole scene –
the train, yeah, right?
The train assassination, which I thought it was nice. Like, I watched it and I wasn't like, this is terrible. I was like, all right. Like, okay. Got an assassinate. Oh, this guy's an assassin. I get it. I knew that going into the movie. Oh, look at that. Oh, wow. I thought the physics was kind of, like, unbelievable that any regular human being could hit a shot like that.
Just move the gun so abruptly and...
Yeah.
And, right? Yeah.
Yeah. But, like... I was cool with everything because so what happens is he kills this guy, he does the assassination, and then he comes home and apparently the fact that he had to make this adjustment at the last second and he shot the guy, but he shot him in the neck as opposed to the head, it's really thrown him off. He's like, this is a sign that
I'm slipping. There was a little girl that delayed him taking the shot.
Yeah.
So he was like worried about hurting. He's like, I could have missed. I got lucky.
Yeah, the whole thing is like, yo, I'm clearly losing a step. And when you start to lose a step, that's when you need to get out. So his buddy from the agency, by the way, why do they call it the defense, the DIA instead of CIA? Why do they like have to?
That's a great question. I don't really know. Yeah.
A lawsuit was on the way from the CIA? No, it's called the DIA. They'll never figure it out, right? So, you know, his buddy tries to talk him out of it. He's like, no, I'm retiring. That's it. I'm going to go fishing or whatever. So he goes on a fishing expedition with his buddy who tells him the person that he killed turns out was the wrong target. Like, no, it was the right target. We had him. Like, yeah, but he's not a terrorist. He's actually like a scientist from right here in the United States. They told him he was a Russian terrorist, but it really wasn't. And so like now it's like, oh, you got to go talk to this other person. Like up until this point, Zach, you're not thinking when they're on the boat, like, okay, like this is a, now, I don't call it a plausible storyline, but it is a Hollywood plot that, like, almost it captures your imagination, but, like, holds your imagination and holds your attention. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Like, it's a little Mission Impossibly, right? But it's fine.
Impossibly is a good way. To me, it starts going off the rails when the girl... Who's quote unquote working at the bait shop?
Yeah, Danny Zakharuski.
Yeah, that's when I'm like.
Because she's there, she's filling in all of a sudden, and he you know kind of figures it out once he realizes he's being spied on from the sky, and he goes in there and he interrogates her like he knows that she's burned, right? Calls her Toast.
Yeah,
is burned toast. You know that's a clever little nickname. And because he has figured it out and they have figured out that he has talked to this guy who has let him know that hit wasn't the hit he thought it was, now they're going to go kill him. And, like, even the action on that, it was all right. You know, like, that action was okay. Like, the, you know, them trying to go get him, he defends himself. Action was like the dialogue was corny while she was fighting and everything. Like, oh, you're going to lose your teeth or whatever.
I didn't get that. Like, so you could tell me now or tell me in 5 minutes after you've lost your teeth. I think
he was going to pull teeth because she came out and she had teeth in her hand when she had defeated that guy.
I mean, I just thought she punched him in the mouth and knocked his teeth
out. That's what I would have thought too, but I guess it's more of a 24 situation.
But then they left all these people alive?
Yeah.
Like, they were trying to come – like, here's the thing. Like, I've got a real simple rule. Someone is trying to kill me. And I possess within my means lethal force. I'm not leaving you tied up with some teeth in my hand.
Right. Well, I guess they don't want to kill if they don't have to kill. I mean, I don't know.
They try to kill you when you
think. I don't know what the DIA's policy is on this stuff, okay? If it was the CIA, I think they kill them. I think that's how that
tremendous
works.
So anyways, they send all these people to go kill them. It doesn't work. So this is what Clive Warren's character is telling the woman who is the deputy director of the DIA, that, you know, basically she's sloppy and her people are sloppy and they need to use Gemini, which is his Black Ops private contractor assassin unit. And which at the time, I thought he meant it was the name of the project, the cloning project. Because it makes sense. Gemini, right? Like twins.
Right. Yeah, so I thought they were referring to younger. I thought they were referring to Junior as Gemini.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought it was like, okay, let's enact Gemini protocol. I thought it was like a program that the government was working on that like hadn't been tested yet, but they were ready to kind of finally roll it out. And instead, no, that's just the name of his company. The guy's a private contractor, sleazeball, who's just like hitting the government up saying, look, you guys are doing a slop. We could do it better for cheaper or whatever. And then, of course, they don't do it better, and it's never cheaper. They're just a bunch of crooks.
Yeah, it's a lot of Vincent D'Onofrio in Jurassic World vibes, right? He's trying to get control of the Raptors for his own gain with the army.
Yeah, yeah.
So what makes younger Will Smith – or is Will Smith the Gemini Man, or is younger Will Smith the Gemini
younger
Man?
Younger Will Smith is.
Well, he's not even the Gemini Man. He's a man that was created by the Gemini program – I mean the Gemini company.
So is the Gemini Man Clive Owen?
No, well, I mean, here's the other thing. The Gemini company isn't even, like, specifically for cloning. They actually do a lot of, like, mercenary assassin-type stuff, but the cloning is one of the programs that they've been working on. So I guess Clive Warren would be the Gemini man, I guess, because he's the man in charge of Gemini.
Definitely wasn't a diamond in the rough and I, man. You know?
Wow.
No, that was no good? Okay. It would have been a better movie, and I don't know how you market it this way, right? But it would have been a better movie if we didn't know it was his younger self going into it.
Oh, no, you can't market it. The whole point
I don't know how you market it any other way. But,
you wanted the twist. You wanted the twist. Because when they first send him out to go kill him, he's wearing a mask.
Right, but you know it's him.
You know it's him, but the whole point is he doesn't know it's him until like he catches a glimpse of like that dude looks real familiar.
Yeah. And so I mean, I will say this. Look, they have like a little, you know, hopping on rooftops, you know, going through stairwell type of battles and stuff, chasing. It's good action. And then when he goes hand to hand combat with using a motorcycle, I openly laughed in the theater.
Yeah, and then he's like trying to stomp him with the motorcycle.
He almost roundhouse kicks him with the motorcycle.
I remember looking at it like that. You can't do that. It doesn't work like that. Like he roundhouse kicked him with a motocycle.
Yeah. It's just trying to stomp him out with the motorcycle. I'm basically using it like it's a baton.
Yeah.
I'm having fun trying to imagine this.
Oh, it's
and by the way, it's not even like well done CGI. It's so cartoonish. It's so cartoonish. That it's just, the other funny thing about that, I just remembered what this movie is attempting to be a shitty version of.
Looper?
Orphan Black.
Oh, oh yes.
Orphan Black. Now that's the show that you. Orphan Black. It was a show. I guess it was on BBC. I remember watching it on BBC America.
Yeah,
but. Basically it's a woman and she meets what she thinks is her twin and it turns out it's a clone and big spoiler alert. It's a great show. It's a great show. But the only way she's been cloned, right? But the clone is different, very different in personality and all that. And it turns out it's part of a bigger thing. So I hope I didn't spoil too much there.
No,
but
cloning's also very in. Living with Yourself is a new Netflix show with Paul Rudd.
Yeah, that's the one with Tom Brady coming out the massage parlor.
Yeah, I just watched it over the last couple of days. Fantastic show.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, really, really, I think smartly done. Way different than Gemini Man. Oh. Then we just basically get into a lot of you know, they're trying to figure out why this guy's been, why he was cloned, why it's him.
Which doesn't seem to be that hard. He was the best assassin they had. Hey, let's keep it going for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But why male models is all I can keep thinking of. Like, are you serious? I just explained it to you.
And like, there's this weird, like, little side thing of Will Smith is deathly allergic to bees. Like, he dramatically kills a bee. And then And then go ahead.
He's afraid of water. Afraid of drowning.
Right, because his dad like tried to drown him or something. I didn't really understand that.
Like dad tried to teach him how to swim, and he almost drowned.
And then Clive Owen made him drown.
Yeah, like
when he was a young soldier and brought him back to life, and basically was like, "I own you now."
Because I almost like I feel like they're kind of even. If someone almost kills you and then saves you from that,
we're dead even. I mean, if that happens between us, no one owes either one.
Yeah.
but like the B part that comes back is it only has a small payoff twice of like. First, he helps convince the clone that he's a clone by explaining to him things he could only know about himself. And one of those is we're deathly allergic to bees. And then the other one is the clone, you know, tracks him down, shoots him with a bullet that I get or a dart that has bee venom in it, but then saves him with an EpiPen to make sure. I don't even know what the point of that was.
It was a way to subdue him, right? But like I believe like a conversation probably could have got it done because it's not like they were actively trying to kill him. I don't know. It was just the whole thing in the crypt.
Right. So they go and they fight in the catacombs, and I think that was just a way to like have them crashing into a bunch of skulls. I think that's what that was. They fall into the water at one point. He tries to drown old Will Smith, or he is drowning old Will Smith, and Danny Zakharuski shoots him in the shoulder, and he goes swimming off in the catacombs. And he's screaming the whole time, "I'm not you! I'm not you!" Because he won't accept that he's a clone.
But also, if I found out I was a clone of someone, particularly a young clone of myself or whatever, I don't feel any affinity towards you, man. Fuck you! Like,
right? Exactly. I'm the new one. Right? Yeah. Like, I'm the new hotness. Like, that's what I'm like. You're out. They got rid of you for a reason. Yeah, I don't like. It is this weird. Do clones have souls thing? Do they have feelings? Like I don't know. What was it in the Clone Wars? Do they have souls?
It turns out like they all had personalities.
Okay.
They're all different and stuff. And some of them were good guys and some of them were dicks and stuff like that. But like at the end of the day, they all knew they were clones and they weren't like looking for Jango or Boba Fett or anything like that. They were just, all right, I guess we're in the army now. Like, let's do this.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, and then we basically just get to, they're in a small town. Here's the final battle. They're on the same side. Clive Owen tries to kill him with the Gemini team.
Which are not clones.
They're just highly trained mercenary soldiers, right? And they take them all out. And then this super soldier comes in and starts like kicking their ass and can't be beaten and everything. And they finally like gun him down and take off the mask. It's another clone of Will Smith.
Yeah.
Was his name Trey?
No.
If one's Junior.
No, because remember when they confront Clive Owen about it, they say
Clive Owen. Yeah.
You know what I just did? Do you guys remember do you guys ever watch or listen to the Ricky Gervais podcast?
Yeah.
Remember Carl Pilkington on it once pitched a movie? He said, "I got a movie that like Hollywood, it's so easy." And he said, "Who do you got in the movie?" And he says, "It's Clive Owen and Rebecca De Mornay." And Ricky loses over Clive Owen. He's like, "You mean Clive Owen?" He's like, "Oh yeah, whatever his name is." He laughs, and then he said, "Who else is in?" And it says Rebecca De Mornay. And Ricky's like, "She hasn't been in a movie in like 25 years."
Rebecca De Mornay. She hasn't been in a movie since like The Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
Yeah. So I every time someone says Clive Owen, I always think Clive Owen, and I
probably did.
But
Clive is like they reveal it's him. It's another one, right?
He's like let me ask a question: is this third version of Will Smith like beefier? Even
not beefier, more agile, more nimble.
But like physically, exactly the same.
Was he younger? He had a different haircut.
I do think he looked a little younger.
He did look younger, right? Yeah. I thought as much, which makes sense because they would have started the clone after this clone,
right?
Yeah. But this clone is like 25, so like how much younger can you be and still be good at killing people?
Exactly. And then there's like a whole like almost back ass words like Thanos vibe to it of Clive Owen saying, you know, I'm creating all these clone soldiers because now we can now Americans don't have to get hurt in wars and everything. Yeah. Like, it's just like really half-assed, like attempt. Also, like, I'm doing good.
Also, he tells Junior that no, he's different. He's just a clone. You're my son.
Right, exactly, because he raised him and all this stuff and all this shit. And then, you know, Junior wants to kill Clive Owen, and Will Smith won't let him, and then Will Smith kills him.
Yeah, I know he gives a whole speech about how, like, it'll stay with you forever.
Yeah, stay with you never. Yeah, you can still go to college. Yeah. And then he does go to college.
That's the end that all the bots said they love.
The ending is he goes to college, and then old Will Smith just shit-talks him. Like, oh, we can run a race right now. I'm beautiful. I'm way better looking than you. Like, you hope you look as good as me someday. Like, it's just this weird, like,
you know why?
Will Smith trying to be Fresh Prince.
Well, not only that, but he also saw Junior walking with all them hoes on campus.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, like, that's true.
And meanwhile, we still don't know whether him and Zakharovsky are they playing. Like, they kind of like, they hint at it a couple of times. Where
I'm never gonna fucking forgive David Benioff for naming her Danny Zakharovsky, because I know this isn't the last time I'm gonna hear it.
Zakharovsky,
way worse than ruining Game of Thrones.
Zakharovsky, the Zakinator.
No, you're right, but there's like this hint that maybe he wants to fuck her, maybe he doesn't want to fuck her,
and maybe she wants to fuck him. Because
right, maybe she wants to fuck him. Of course,
wait, old Will Smith or young Will Smith?
Old Will Smith.
Okay.
You know what I thought was? You know what I thought was gonna happen?
That's how they lure him. That's how they lure the clone.
Yeah, because they knew he'd like her.
He knew, like, how do you know? It's like, yeah. And he gives it like this old
my
man
type, cool vibe. You're his type.
My dick is like what it likes. Which leads me to ask this question to both of you guys. Has your dick consistently liked the same type of woman throughout your entire life?
Yes. Yeah, it varies.
Yes, unfortunately.
Really? Oh, Maze. Whoa. Okay.
No, for Maze, it's available. My dick always loves an available woman.
Yeah. I mean, same. You know, I can't, if we're being honest.
I feel bad if my dick only likes taking women. That would be a rougher road, I think.
Oh, well.
You know. Well, it depends on for who.
That, I was about to say, that leads us to one of the great bomb conversations of all time, Dirty Macking. Check out that episode where we're talking about Dirty Macking.
I honestly thought the fucked up thing was going to be that she starts dating the younger one. I thought that was going to be the thing.
Why would that be fucked up? Doesn't that make more sense?
Because he's a clone.
So what?
No, it's not even that he's a clone. It's the idea that, like, the old one has been putting in all the work and charming and flirting and getting her to be attracted. And she says, you are kind of sexy, but I want the younger one. I was like, he turned into a man from Office Space. Asking about his stapler.
Okay. So yeah, and then that's in the movie. So all right, question for you.
Actually, you turned into the dude from Dodgeball. You can't join the regional qualifiers already happened. You're not allowed to. Oh, and we get the regional qualifiers. Oh yeah, that's right. I remember now. The commissioner is a dear old friend.
you know, it's played by the same guy, right?
Milton was my man too.
Yeah, Steven Root. Yeah, Steve.
You know what I think of? What I think of him every time I see him, I always think of him as the dude in True Blood.
He's never seen True Blood. I saw one episode of True Blood and I was out.
True Blood was good, until it wasn't.
The part I honestly don't even think I saw the whole episode. I saw where a vampire is a virgin, but Hyman grows back every time she's sick.
Every time
so I was like, all right, I'm good on this. I don't need to watch this.
She was pretty hot, too.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think that's why I stayed on the channel at first. All those charming
southern accents.
So we agree that it's way too distracting the way it's shot, right?
Yeah, by the way, that last scene when he's at college, young Will, that's the first time where I'm looking at him in the face in the daylight, I guess, and I was like, oh, my God, this CGI is terrible.
It's really bad. Because at nighttime,
the shadows are able to kind of like keep it so that's Will Smith when he's younger, but like once they're out in the open at the bright sunlight, I'm like, CGI is awful.
It reminded me of the, I don't know if it was prosthetics or CGI, but how they made Joseph Gordon-Levitt in Looper look. Like, because he had a little more familiarity to Bruce Willis in the movie.
Yeah.
And it was always distracting to me in that.
Yeah, I think it was CGI because I remember, like, there's a glitch with the nose or something.
Yeah. My other question for you, is the action porn green screen stuff just boring to us now? Or was this just so poorly done?
This was poorly done.
Okay. That's fair. I'm open to the idea.
Let me put it this way. This is how poorly done it was. Think about, like, the action, like, the end fight in Avengers Endgame, right? Like, none of it looked as ridiculous as any of the fight scenes in this movie.
Right, that's true.
And that's what people flying and, like, superpowers and all that, like, none of that stuff looked as ridiculous as my man with the motorcycle with the roundhouse kick.
Right. Right, that's true. And then when the third one comes in, that, like, he's doing, like, all these pirouettes in the air and stuff. Yeah. And yeah.
There was a lot of unnecessary flipping, too. Like, they'd be running, chasing somebody.
Yeah.
And then they flip and, like, somersault and, like, roll and then get up and keep running. I'm like, what was that for?
Yeah, man. It was like we saw a parkour video. We want to add this in. All right, other question. Would this movie have been? Oh wait, I'll actually ask that later. What happened to Clive Owen? He used to be a good actor, right?
Yeah, I was actually going to bring that up earlier.
Like he's really exceptionally bad in this movie.
He did the Nick for 2 years, which people liked. It was that Cinemax show that Soderbergh directed.
Dennis or something like that or whatever. Yeah.
But I think before that, like, his heyday was obviously Children of Men and, like, Inside Man, which is 14 years ago. I'm looking it up. But yeah, he really, it's like, I thought he, like, stopped acting for a while.
I mean, it kind of felt like, if that's true, if he stopped acting, I took about a month off of writing this summer and then had to jump into, like, season preview stuff for The Athletic, and it took me a long time of writing that stuff to get back in the groove of it. So this might have been his first movie back.
All right, so we got Children of Men and Inside Man in 2006, all right, 13 yeah. years ago. Here's all his movies since. Shoot 'Em Up, Elizabeth the Golden Age.
I like Shoot 'Em Up.
The International, Duplicity, The Boys Are Back, Trust, Killer Elite, Intruders, Shadow Dancer, Hemingway and Gellhorn, Blood Ties, Words and Pictures, Last Nights, The Confirmation, Ophelia, Valerian and a City of a Thousand Planets, Anon, The Informer, The Song of Names, and Gemini Man. So I haven't even seen any of that.
Some of those, I saw Valerian. Valerian's terrible. Some of these movies sound very like
Netflix fiction. Nick Cage. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, it's not only that, but it's like not even Nick Cage. It's like a specific brand. It's like, oh, Steven Seagal, Tom Sizemore,
right? Blood yeah, Ties, exactly. Yeah,
and DMX or like some rapper, like
Tom Berenger,
and then a rapper. Who's a rapper? Right. Like
Tom Berenger with Chingy, like
yes, and The Informer, like
whatever you think of Will Smith as an actor at this point is fine, right? Like, I didn't expect him to be this bad in it. No, I didn't expect Clive Owen to be as horrendous as he was.
I think I figured out the Will Smith, the formula. This is how you know if Will Smith is in a good movie or not. Is this movie sci-fi based?
Right.
If the answer is yes, bad Will Smith movie.
Yeah.
If the answer is no, good Will Smith movie.
Well, so did you see the live action Aladdin? I never saw it, but I heard it was good.
He did a good job. Look, especially considering he's got to fill in like pretty big shoes. Like it's really
you gotta match Robin Williams, right? Or Robin, come close to it.
But what I liked about him is that he didn't try to be Robin Williams.
Yeah,
because that wasn't work. It was almost like he was the Fresh Prince of Genie.
Okay.
So it was a lot of the jokes and kind of like making fun of like Aladdin's like way of talking to ladies and stuff like that. Like it was within Will Smith's comfort zone, and it was funny, and it was charming. Like, look, it was a shot for shot remake. Like, there were, like, ad-libs in there that they kept in.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to tell you it was, like, a mind-blowing experience, but it's also why I'm like, why does Disney keep doing this, I guess? Why do people keep paying Disney to keep doing this is a bigger question. But it was entertaining. He was good. But guess what? No sci-fi in that movie.
Right. Well, then, you know what I mean? Bad Boys for Life, in theory, no sci-fi.
Oh, no, but that's terrible.
It's going to be
that's
all right.
That's just terrible.
My next question, is Will Smith okay?
No.
Like, you think he's doing all right?
Oh, like money-wise? Or,
no,
or like,
I'm just in general.
No, no. You see his Instagram, he's way too, like, manic.
I gotta be honest. I mean, his Instagram pulled me back in.
He's manic. But you don't think he's manic?
No, he's manic. But then it made me think, like, all right, I found him manic in the Fresh Prince days if I saw him on Instagram all the time,
Here's my question for you guys. Is Will Smith currently the least successful member of his family?
No.
How's Willow doing?
Hell no. Jaden's having a good little run. But Jaden doesn't make like a drop in the bucket of what Will made on Gemini Man alone.
I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about like
projects. Critical acclaim.
Like Jada's got her show Facebook. Will Smith,
I guess at the bare minimum, you tell me if they walk through the airport, who's going to get mobbed the most? It's going to be Will. Now it might be because of like past glory. He might be living off the scrapbook, but by far nobody. You could combine all of them, and they still wouldn't reach the level.
Wondering if there's some insecurity for him right now because he's on a big comeback right now, right? Because the Bad Boys are coming back and stuff.
But is he? Because everything he puts out's a flop.
Other than Aladdin.
But he's
Other
trying. Than Aladdin, right. He's but, trying but that, but that's to make
Disney,
it happen.
Like, Disney is flop-proof with this stuff, right?
And also, he is a supporting role.
Right.
Like, exactly. It's like people saying that Eddie Murphy's got his – is like he's gearing up for a big comeback. My Name is Dolomite comes out this week on Netflix.
Right.
And he's got a stand-up deal with Netflix and all that. And so it's a big comeback. Some people are like, well, it's not really a comeback because he's in all those Shrek movies and he did well. He's like, yeah, he was. But he wasn't – like he was a supporting character, much like the genie in Aladdin.
Okay. So, and then my last question then is – I'm glad you asked that, Maze. Would this movie have been better – with Jaden Smith as Junior?
No. Because he's a physically unimposing human being.
What if he just like went through the Muhammad Ali training and got jacked for this movie?
That kid is slight.
I know he's slight. Let's just say for a year, he gets away from the Jada slightness and he just goes and just works out and HGHs and all that stuff for a year. To get ready for this role.
I don't think that fits Jaden's profile. Just become a juice head.
I did it for you, Pop.
I think it's a legitimate question, though, because it's so bad with him as his younger self.
Is he saying that Will Smith did a shitty job of playing himself?
He was horrible playing himself. Look, man, this is as bad as After Earth, in my opinion.
No.
I walked away with the exact same feeling.
No. There was no moment in After Earth where I was like, okay, let's see where this goes. Not once.
Not even when they had like the giant bird and everything.
The trailer of After Earth made me like say no.
All right. I got a little bit of trivia here that I loved. Jerry Bruckheimer. It's the longest gestating movie he's ever produced.
Wait, when did it start?
Well, it started long ago enough that the original script was written for Clint Eastwood.
That probably explains the Benioff part. Because I don't think he wrote it now. I think he probably wrote it a long time ago.
Got it.
And then it's been rewritten by those other dudes. Because Benioff is fucking busy, dude.
No. I'm not giving Benioff any credit. He wrote this shit like in between like break times of fucking Game of Thrones season shit. Like, oh, yeah, hey, okay, all right, now bring in the dragons. All right, it's going to take us 15 minutes. All right, hold on, let me get on my laptop real quick. And then Roundhouse kicks him with a motorcycle.
Do you think he punched it up on the set of Game of Thrones, and that's how the coffee cup got left?
No, he was – yeah, exactly, yeah. While he was working on this, like, that was his coffee cup.
Like, Benioff, get the fuck out of the scene. Oh, my bad.
Grabs his laptop and scurries away and forgets the coffee cup. Or the Dasani water bottle.
In 2012.
I got it backwards here. So it was written by a man named Darren Lemke.
Okay.
When he was 27, working at a grocery store in 97.
All right.
And he sold.
Wait, they thought it was going to go Clint Eastwood in like 97?
He sold Gemini Man at this point.
What? Well, I guess you needed an older actor.
I guess, yeah.
But then how would they didn't have that technology back then? Or were they just going to cast?
They're just going to cast like Harrison Ford or some shit. Yeah, I don't know. Johnny Depp turned down the role in 2012.
I mean, that's how you know how bad this movie is.
Well, no.
Mel Gibson shot test footage.
Amin, I disagree. This is how you know. From 2003 to 2010, the man attached to this project won Nicolas Cage. From 2003 to 2010.
It definitely fits his profile more.
It does.
I would say this. If I read the script and knowing how the script was, I would have said, guys, let's not waste money on fucking Will Smith. That's just too expensive.
Yeah, right.
Get Nick Cage in here.
Get Nick in. We'll go straight to Netflix. Might even make a little money off it.
And he'll do the whole, oh, you're my younger self with Nate. Like, he knows how to do all that. Like, you're afraid of bees.
He's got a history with bees. He's got a history with a face being his own, not being his own, right? Like he's got history with all this stuff. It was actually due to go to production in 2008, but Nick Cage convinced Bruckheimer to do the live action remake of The Sorcerer's Apprentice instead.
Oh, good call.
So
good call.
Yeah, that is. I mean, that's Nick got one right
literally,
there.
Yeah. I mean, imagine avoiding a massive flop because you convinced someone to instead work on a slightly less massive flop.
It's like, man, we can't sign Bismack Biyombo. Go get Yam Nahimi. Let's go get him.
I'm not going to lose $100,000. Do this. Lose $85,000.
Right, exactly. Tony Medley saw it, Amin.
No, he didn't.
He did.
No, he fucking didn't.
I swear he did.
Oh, man, we're in for a treat. Yeah, it's been a while since you got a Tony Medley. All right, let's go.
Do you want the score first or the review?
Give me the review. I want to, like... All right. And then let's try and guess the score. Like, Maze, have you seen the review?
Unfortunately, I have. So you're the guesser.
It's okay. It's okay. Right. Amin can play the home version of this game.
Okay.
All right. From onetonymedley.com. Given the choice, I choose to watch film in 2D rather than 3D. Wow. There are two reasons for this. The first is that except for the opening titles, which are animated and obviously much easier to produce an effective 3D effect, the 3D is usually ineffective. After the first couple of minutes, it adds nothing. The second is that the viewing in 3D mutes the colors. I'd rather see brighter colors than ineffective 3D. However, however, the 3D in this movie is the best I've ever seen.
Oh my God.
It is effective throughout the entire film, and many scenes are far superior seen in 3D than in 2D. So from that point of view, this film might be worthwhile seeing just because of the 3D, which was the only reason people went to see Buona Devil in 1952, which was the dawn of 3D films. It's not clear whether 3D failed back then due to the lack of interest in 3D or the low quality of the films, but Buona Devil epitomized. I have a question. We're halfway through this review.
Yeah. I want to just say this right now. In my mind, as I hear Tony Medley's words, I like to imagine a little meter, almost like a graph. Like a chart.
kind of tinker it, right? Like kind of teeter.
Score's going up, score's going up. Oh, yeah. Score's going down. Oh, this way it just spiked. It's just spiked. All right.
This leads me to believe, though, we're halfway through this review. Did he see this fucking movie twice? Did he see it in 3D and in 2D?
To know that it popped and everything.
Yeah. Maybe it's better because director Ang Lee and director of photography Dion Beebe shot the film at 120 frames per second. Standard is 24 and in 4K 3D. It certainly shows, and future 3D productions should be shot in the same way. However, this film is better than just the 3D. Will Smith is a U.S. government assassin who was targeted by his employers and by an assassin who anticipates his every move. I used to have negative feelings about films that painted the U.S. government as being murderously unethical, but that was before the 2016 election and the astonishing attacks on the Trump campaign by the top echelons of the CIA and the FBI, and later on President Trump himself. So now I buy into these stories.
Oh my God. You made this up. There's no way.
While Will Smith gives a very good performance in a dual role, Mary Elizabeth Winstead gives a sterling performance as someone sent by his employers to track him down. The other exceptional supporting performance is by Clive Owen. I always thought he would make a perfect James Bond, a lot better than the guy they have now. I generally disdain the car and motorcycle chases that are de rigueur now in these types of movies, but the one in this film is eye-popping, mainly due to the exceptional 3D and cinema verite-style filming.
Jesus Christ.
Although it tends to drag at the end, this film is an entertaining treat.
9 out of 10.
No, it's a 7 out of 10, which is makes me wonder, like, with as glowing as he gave it, what were the knocks? Just that it drags? Is that worth 3?
Probably didn't like that the black guy went to college after it. Totally unbelievable. Totally unbelievable.
I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better review from Tony Medley.
I mean, and it also confirms what we suspected for a while.
Yeah, make 3D great again. That's his mantra. Geez. That is, all right. So normally we do Phobophile. We're still going to do Phobophile. Not just Phobophile, but do you think, Amin, people should see this in the theater?
No.
No.
Unless you do what I did. Unless you already saw a movie, you got time to kill, go watch Gemini Man, I guess.
Okay. Phobophile.
Oh, it's a massive phobe for me. Like, it's as massive a phobe as this is a flop.
Here's the thing, and I gotta be real with myself. I am gonna watch it again.
Why?
I'll wait until it's on a movie channel, or it's like a 99-cent rental on iTunes. But I will. I know myself. I've watched After Earth like 4 times.
Why?
It's a curiosity to know if it was as bad as I remembered it.
And you want to kill Eraser.
Not all. Well, that's the thing. I've seen that multiple times. I've seen Eraser like 6 times.
You have been erased. With my mercy.
I mean, it's a phobe, but I know I'm going to see it again.
I will never see Gemini Man again.
Maze, I know we've spoiled this movie for you, but I really hope you'll see it. In fact, I'll fucking pay for you to see it in the theater.
That's what I'll say. Maze, if there's one part you have to see, it's the motorcycle fight.
Yeah, it is.
Just to see how, because I don't think we're doing it justice.
No, and I would also say, I don't think we did justice to the end. I don't think, like, the last, college? Like, 15 movies, like, from the third one jumping into the picture through college. I don't think we did that just. I mean, it is the bots so painfully agree. Awkward.
The bots agree. You guys did not do it justice.
Edge of your seat, and we did not do the ending justice. That's this episode, this very special edition of Cinephobe. Go see Gemini Man. Don't go see Gemini Man. I don't know how to call it at this point. Thanks for subscribing. Make sure to retweet these episodes. Tweet them out. Tell your friends. It is on the Mailbag channel, as you know. Check out the Discord. You can drop in suggestions for movies, comments on movies in the Discord channel if you're a Patreon subscriber, patreon.com/countthedings. And, of course, you can tag us on Twitter with hashtag Cinephobe. If you have any questions, suggestions, he's at Darth Amin. Maze is at Corn Puzzle. I'm at Talk Hoops. For Amin El Hassan, for Anthony Maze, I'm Zach Harper. This is Cinephobe. Man, cloning is a motherfucker.